The Drive with Robin Ross. Weekdays 4 to 7. Jacaranda FM.
The champ is here. Kevin Larina in the house.
Stephanie.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you, dude. Thanks for finding time to come and hang out with us this afternoon.
Only my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
How do we not have the Rocky music or like something?
Eye of the Tiger. On.
Please don't play that.
You must have heard it enough times by now.
Too many times.
Listen, Kevin, so you actually won a fight that people didn't expect you to win because you went up a weight class. So how do you go from cruiserweight to heavyweight?
To be honest, I always walked around at heavyweight. I had to do a drastic weight cut to make cruiserweight. So my first two fights at heavyweight last year, I won by stoppage. And then obviously I fought for the heavyweight world title last year, December. And unfortunately, I fell up short in the third round in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Oh, that's why.
But we learned a lot from it, yeah. We learned a lot from it, so now we're just reassessing, reevaluating, and getting another shot at a new weight division. You know, it's one step in the right direction to go get that heavyweight gold again.
Yeah, I mean, your next fight's what, less than 2 weeks away?
Yeah, 10 days, 13th of May.
Yoy.
It's a big one.
I suppose as you get closer and closer, the headspace must start getting, I don't have a word for it, tighter and tighter?
I suppose you get tuned in, you get sucked into the job at hand, but you know, you got to kind of block out, as you guys would know, block out the noise and just focus on the job at hand. You know, I know what I have to do to win. I've prepared adequately, and everything else, just take it in your stride. But the most important thing is what happens on the 13th of May, centering, you know.
What does your day look like now? 10 days before fight day, fight night. Like, take us through that.
To be honest, I'm quite a busybody. You know, I'm never sitting still. I may seem relaxed, but I'm always on the go. But if we're looking at a training day, I'm putting in about 2 sessions a day at the moment now, because we're toning down. We're peaking for the fight now. So the most important thing now is, how can I explain? The training volume is shorter, but it's very intense and explosive. So we allow the body to stay nice and sharp. You're not going to get fitter in 10 days, but you can get injured. So I pay careful attention to my recovery and that type of stuff. So they come the 13th of May, you get the best version of me.
Oh, it's going to be so good. I tell you, I've been boxing for like almost 18 months now, and it's the greatest thing I've ever done for my body and for my mind. It's incredible.
I think a lot of people who have done the crossover and tried boxing really enjoy it. I think, you know, it's just a nice way to let down and get out of your workspace, and obviously the endurance aspect of it's quite tough too.
I tell you, I've now recently graduated to full sparring rounds, 3 minutes.
Nice.
And it's the most exhausting thing in the world. I cannot imagine what Kevin's life is like building up to. How many rounds? 10?
12? No, 12 rounds.
12. Oy, oy, oy.
I just want to know, what are you eating? I find that like whole nutrition aspect of professional fighters, I find it fascinating. So, you know, tell me everything.
Roz, when I fought cruiserweight, obviously my diet was hectic in a sense. I had to pull 12 to 13 kilograms to make weight. And I used to do that in about 7 to 10 days. So it was a lot of your white fish, your chicken, your broccoli, your asparagus, a little bit of carbohydrates here and there. Now, fortunately, and also since I went up to heavyweight, my natural walking around weight is 101. So now it's about performance-inspired nutrition, nutrition that's going to give me better performance. So everything balanced, right? Balancing everything. So your good carbohydrates, your good proteins, and I'm not afraid to say I'll have a sweet if I want to, because I can. Yeah. But I'm going to go work it off with either an 8K run or an hour and 20-minute boxing session. You know what I mean?
Casual.
So, no, what I'm saying is there's a balanced diet, you know?
Yeah.
A balanced diet. You know, I'm not one to get fixated on the diet, because yes, good food, good nutrition equals good performance.
Yeah.
But we know that. But I think just everything in balance, you know, just making sure everything's in check.
Yeah. This opponent of yours that you're coming up against in 10 days, Riyad Mehri, from Belgium. I suppose there's a lot of, like, people who don't really follow boxing, I suppose, you think we're just going to get in the ring and fight and see how it goes. Is there a lot of tactics that goes into this? Is there a lot of looking at the guy and what sort of rounds they're good in, and whether they like to stay at range, whether they like to get close? I mean, how much, you know, like, mental work are you doing per fighter?
ring IQ is everything, in, especially when you come up against the higher level guys, the A-grade fighters. You see at the top, everybody's fit, everybody's strong,
yeah,
everybody's fit. So how do you beat the other man? You've got to have a better ring IQ than him and a better game plan than him.
Gotcha.
That you're able to execute on the night. Riyad Mahrez is a tough competitor. 31 fights, 30 wins and only one loss. And I boast a record of 30 fights, 28 wins, 2 losses. So we're very evenly matched.
Mm.
We were meant to fight in 2021 for the WBA Cruiserweight World title. That fight fell through because I tore my tendons in my hand in sparring. Oh. So this is kind of not, I wouldn't say it's a grudge match, but it's a fight that's been coming for a long time now.
You guys have owed it to each other.
We have. And we spoke about it actually after I lost the heavyweight world title in London. And I knew I was going to campaign for the Bridgeweight title. He called me out and I said, don't worry, you're going to get your opportunity. Let me just have my child first in April and we're going to get the show on in May. So don't worry.
You know, it's work. You got to prioritize these things.
Yeah. And also now that there's kind of been time since you were supposed to fight initially, you guys have both gotten better. You've both gotten stronger. So the kind of match that is going to be on a, such a much higher level than it would have been 2 years ago.
100%. You hit the nail on the head. Back then we were cruiserweights. So we were both campaigning at 90 kilograms. Now we campaigning at 100 kilograms. The big boys now fighting each other. So I think you can definitely say we have gotten better. Mm. We've matured over the years and also stronger. You know, you get that belly strength.
Kevin Lorena this afternoon, who's lining up for another world title fight.
Big one, WBC world title eliminator fight. The winner fights for the world title.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, no pressure. Listen, for people who don't know, like, where are you from in South Africa? How long have you been doing this?
So obviously born and bred Johannesburg. I grew up in an area called Highlands North.
Yeah.
I've been boxing professionally since I was 18 years old under the tutelage of Peter Smith.
Yeah.
And we've grown from strength to strength together, just a raw kid that came into his gym with no amateur experience, and this is where we sit right now. So yeah, big credit to him. He's played a major role in my success in my boxing career, and obviously my promoter Rodney Berman,
yeah,
who backed me, and then obviously a lot of blue chip sponsors have gotten behind me over the years. You know, they've helped me pave the way, and hopefully we've set a legacy that we've paved the way for other young fighters coming up.
Is boxing in your family? Is it one of those things, or did you just randomly decide one day at age 13, I'm going to go to a boxing gym?
To be honest, I was fortunate. I always used to be sporty, and I went to a good traditional rugby school, King Edward School, so sport and gym was always a thing. So in the mornings, I'd go with my brother to the boxing gym from the age of 15 at 5 o'clock in the morning until about 6:30, and then go to school every day. Obviously, just fell in love with the sport and then haven't looked back. So, yeah, no one fights in my family. They like to have there's a little bit of fisticuffs, but let's just leave that off air. But no one professionally, you know, I'm the only professional fighter in my family. My family's got a lot of good sportsmen. My cousin Gavin's a top jockey in South Africa, and Brandon overseas. So I come from a family rich in sport, but horse racing and boxing, a little bit different.
Yes.
Listen, Kevin, you've got a brand new baby, a 4-week-old little boy,
yeah,
and obviously your partner and your mom and your family play a big role in your life.
Yeah.
How do they react when you are in that ring, just either like exchanging blows or catching the blows?
And do you think that's going to change now that you're a dad?
Yeah.
So I'm a dad of 3.
Okay.
So I'm not a new dad.
I thought this was a new dad situation.
No, it's a lot lumpy. No, so I'm very fortunate. I've got a good support base. And, you know, I think a lot of people take that for granted. When your family supports you, it's all you have, because when you lose alone in boxing. It's a very lonely sport.
Yeah.
So you rely on your family and your loved ones close to you. So, you know, I've got a wife who looks after my child that affords me the opportunity to train. You know, that type of sacrifice, I cannot thank her enough for. And my ex-wife too, who is the mother of my 2 kids. You know, that they allowed me to work hard and to train hard so I can provide for my family and for my children. And I'm forever grateful for that. And I think support structures and family structures are of the utmost importance in the athlete's life.
Yeah, I can completely believe that. Can we ask you a couple of Mythbuster questions?
On the spot, okay.
On the spot.
Myth boxer.
Yeah.
Myth boxer, okay.
Mythbusters boxing edition.
Can't prove the answers are going to be good, but let's try.
Let's go.
Do you have to register your fists as deadly weapons with the police?
Oh, my word.
These are all the things you hear.
Not necessarily, but let's just say if you're hitting people out of the boxing ring, you get yourself in a lot of problems. Mm. So technically, yes, I guess.
You see, Roz?
Technically, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Who would win in a fight? Mike Tyson or Bruce Lee?
I'm going to say Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson.
He's a boxer. He has to say
well,
that.
Well, look, I mean, Bruce Lee is a legend, right?
Yeah.
A man, the myth, the legend. But I've just seen with my own eyes Mike Tyson fight. I've never seen Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
So Mike Tyson.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson.
Is a big guy who's not a boxer going to beat a small guy who is a boxer?
Not necessarily. I think if the small guy's got speed and timing... Speeding and timing beats power. If he hits the guy on the right spot, the big man's gonna go. So not necessarily, but if you grab the smaller man, then he's in a heap of trouble.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, we had Dricus du Plessis in a couple of weeks ago as well, and I mean, it's a when you look at the world of MMA, like how separated is that from your world? Do you watch these guys and go, "Ooh, that's crazy,"
no,
or do you like,
all.
"I could take them"?
Not at all. I actually just did an interview with Dricus just before I came here.
Yeah. Mm.
So MMA, it's a great sport because it's a combat sport and it's a little bit of everything, right? It's a bit of every discipline. But every fight starts standing. So your fundamentals of boxing are of the utmost importance. You mustn't forget that. Not all fights start on the ground. Having said that, not all fights stay standing. But the fundamentals of MMA, boxing is a major fundamental because all fights start in the boxing stance.
Yeah.
Yes, they might end up on the floor, but just think about the fundamentals. You've got to have a bit of everything, and boxing is definitely a part of martial arts that is very important.
Kevin, what would you say it is? You mentioned your love for boxing, but what was it that made you go, "I want to do this professionally. I want to fight and show people what I can do"?
It was never about what I can do. It was always about testing myself, to be honest. What can I achieve from this, you know? From the get-go, to be fair and to be honest with you, I never had it for me in a sense of nobody thought I could make it.
Mm.
People told my promoter at the time, my trainer at the time, "What are you doing? He's had no amateur fights. He's just a strong kid with a rugby background. He's not going to make it." That is what motivated me.
Yeah.
Not the glamour side of it, not the 36 minutes you get to dance under the bright lights on Supersport TV or whatever it is. Proving people wrong, but proving myself right was the most important thing and what motivated me to get to this point.
I can completely believe that because in my amateur boxing career, the 18 months I've been doing this, it's just I found nothing else in the world that takes your head to that place. I'm so focused there on what I'm doing. You're working harder than you think you can work.
Mm.
You know, it's much easier for me to destroy myself in a boxing ring exercise-wise than it is trying to go to the gym and put in the same level of effort because your brain is just so focused. I think it's an amazing exercise that everyone should try, to be honest.
I think you feel like you're ready to take Kevin because you are like there's some fighting talk here.
No.
Mans is focused.
No.
Rob's is ready for a rumble.
I tell you.
Age 40 is not the first time to get, not a good time to get punched in the head. When are boxers at their peak, by the way? Is it an age thing or a number of fights thing?
It's a good question, Rob. I think in the heavier weight divisions, like the heavyweight, cruiserweight, I think the fighters do peak a little bit later, so maybe late 20s, early 30s. And we joked earlier, we said belly strength, but it's a real thing.
Yeah.
In heavyweight boxing especially, heavyweights go on a lot longer than the lighter weight divisions. If you look at the likes of Mike Tyson, George Foreman, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I stand to be corrected, George Foreman became heavyweight world champion at 50 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, he beat Michael Moray, knocked him out. 40 or 50, I think it was 50. So it just shows you cannot count a heavyweight out because the pace of the fight might not be as quick as the guy who weighs 60.
Yeah.
But the power behind the punches will always be there. So I think heavyweights do mature a lot later than the smaller fighters.
Well, we're going to watch some heavyweight maturing now as Kevin Narina gets ready for his next one in the 13th of May. So less than 10 days' time. Where is the fight?
Empress Palace, Golden Gloves promotion, live on Supersport. You know, I'm just fortunate to be back in my home country, able to fight in front of my South African fans because obviously the last fight we were out in London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And
nobody wants to go to Spurs.
Big crowd. loud, massive show. But, you know, there's something that's special about home, and I've always enjoyed fighting at home. You know, we don't fill 65,000 people in a stadium, but what we do have 2,000 plus supporters who really want to be there and support you, and that means a lot to me. So I'm very patriotic. I love my country, and it's just looking forward to being back at home.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to try and be one of those 2,000. Come along and enjoy the fight. Dude, thank you so much for coming to spend some time with us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
The Drive with Robin Ross. Weekdays 4 to 7. Jacaranda FM.